Why do we love the apocryphal, a cherry tree falling, but forget the Choctaw sending money to feed the starving Irish just 16 years after the Trail of Tears? Wherever we came from, we left mules and gulls behind. But somehow we swept rain into our disposition. We feel clouds gathering, miles above the sugar beet region and agro farms based in Topeka. Did they ever exist, DeSoto's green fountain or the threshed abundance on Cather's floor? Newer, faster, behind our heat is a fever. Even in religious fervor, said our prince Walt Whitman, there's a touch of animal heat. Maybe only a truly great stranger can see it, said Kerouac to Robert Frank. You got eyes.
That's David Roderick reading After de Tocqueville from his new collection of poems, The Americans. The former poet laureate Natasha Trethewey said the book is a meditation on the ways we go about our lives, unmoored from the facts of history, though we drift along its shore. That's familiar terrain for Roderick. His previous book, Blue Colonial, reimagined his hometown, Plymouth, Massachusetts, where English colonists first settled in 1620. We spoke with him about that on Thanksgiving Day 2006, and David Roderick is with us again for Thanksgiving 2014. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Thank you for having me, Ron.
Oh, it's our pleasure, and as are these poems, although we're not always singing praise.
No. I think the word meditation that Natasha used to describe it is an accurate word, I think. It's a series of meditations, I think, on the big, messy, beautiful project that is our country. There's beauty and faith and grace, and there's also some grit and some doubt, too.
Well, one of the lines that jumps out, must nostalgia walk like a prince through all our rooms?
I think a lot of us are preoccupied, especially around the holidays and Thanksgiving, especially with our past and our history. And so it's a time, I think, to dwell on the passage of time and where we've come from and where we're at and where we're going.
And it's not always a prince. It's sometimes a pauper.
Sometimes it's a pauper, yes.
Yeah. What about suburbs? A theme that runs throughout the book. It's, you know, you have several poems. It's sort of an ongoing dialogue with you and suburbs. They're entitled Dear Suburban. We're reminded, here's a line, oh, satellite town, your bright possibility born again in drywall, and the diary with the trick lock. We didn't have one of those. but also that scared need to whiten or clean a surface, plywood or lawn.
Right.
You know, the suburbs, the perfection there.
Sure. Well, that's the poem that opens the book. And I grew up in the suburbs, and a lot of people have and do and still live there. And I think it represents, the suburbs represent, I suppose, the American dream in some way. I think when it's sort of imagined in our culture, we think of a place that's safe and green and pastoral and relatively quiet and communal and with the white picket fence and two cars in the driveway and kids in the yard. And I guess I was just trying to interrogate that dream somewhat. And in order to do that, I had to go back to my own experience growing up in the suburbs in the 70s and 80s. I was away for a while living in cities, and 7 or 8 years ago, I moved to Greensboro, North Carolina, where I feel like I've returned to the suburbs, a different suburb. And moving to that suburb brought back memories of my childhood. They resonated with me quite deeply. And I also, my wife and I had two children. And so watching them grow up there brought a lot of that experience back. So that first Dear Suburb poem is more of a reminiscence.
Well, you're critical, obviously, of some of the uniformity
yes.
of the suburbs. But then you also write, amazed I can thrive here so close to a city's lost eminence, where you bring a golden stillness to everything I touch, where I go whole years without suffering so much as a splinter.
Yes. It's speaking directly, I think, to the good fortune I feel and the prosperity I feel. But then there's also a bit of, I don't know, wonder or maybe even doubt that what makes this prosperity possible. And I hope that the book is suggesting a certain kind of context that the suburbs aren't this – they don't exist in a vacuum. There are other dynamic things going on in the world, and it's related to those things. And so I'm hoping to suggest that as well.
What are you saying, though, about – I mean, that's recent history.
Yes.
Growing up in the suburb. What are you saying about the past history?
Well, I think I'm a poet, and so I feel like it's my job to shed light on not only my life but the life of the people I see around me. And And in order to learn, I grew up loving history. I studied history in high school and college, as well as English. And so my poems have always been inflected with that sensibility that if you want to take stock of the present or examine it, you might do well to go back and explore what led up to it. And so a lot of the poems are inflected with or informed by historical events. A couple of the poems dwell on the Kennedy legacy, for example. I think there are a few others that explore the Irish migration to America. My family, on both sides of my family, I have Irish ancestors. And so these things have personal connection, but I guess I'm trying to connect them to larger stories as well. I'm very much interested in telling personal stories, but stories that are seated within the context of the larger dynamics of culture and history and those sorts of things.
You mentioned the Kennedys. There are two poems about the Kennedys. Love Field talks about President Kennedy arriving in Dallas mm-hmm. with First Lady Jackie
sure.
Kennedy the day he was assassinated, November 22nd, 1963. The other is at the Ambassador Hotel, and it's, of course, the assassination of Robert Kennedy in
yes.
Los Angeles 5 years later, 1968. Could you read a little bit
sure.
Of the Love Field? The plane arriving, mm-hmm. the first couple disembarking, the photographers who are there, and the roses that are given to her.
Yes. And who knows what's truth, what's myth? Or if they arrive as hawks or doves, brave with risk in a bright and swirling land where the dust seems to crown from its own gray dust. Here's the raw footage. Here's the film clicking in the projector. And, as all things seen through it are black and white, isn't it important to note her roses are red and not yellow, and that neither of them squints in the bright Texas sun? If you can stand what the light inside the darkness does to your eyes, watch them pause there for a moment, our champion, our grace, in that high noon that holds all the freshness of the morning.
It resonates because it's about Americans, but also it's about this time.
Yes, I certainly feel a great deal of gratitude, especially, you know, at this time of year for not only my family, but also for our country and the project of our country, which is ongoing and sometimes sticky and uncomfortable, but it feels very alive to me, and I hope that the book reflects some sense of faith and joy in that project. And thanks.
Pick a passage with that in mind.
I'll end with I think it's the final Dear Suburb poem with a passage near at the end of that poem. And then you remind me of the glory of a city on a hill, which I've tried in 8 different ways to refute. And you say we both want a hornet at the center of a screen. And then I confess, as if you give a damn, that I love, in fact, your highways and lawns, these raw lots developers bought for a song.
That's David Roderick. His new collection of poetry is The Americans. David, thank you. And again, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, Robin. Thank you for having me.